Good morning. We're going to meet another Walter, actually. This is Walter James Fry. He looks a bit dapper, doesn't he? Looks a little bit mischievous, the way he's standing. Those amazing photographs of old. He was born in a small hamlet in Somerset. In this house. He was one of eight children to Hannah and James. The son of a shoemaker, he was 24 when he went to fight on the Western Front. Private 16722 of the Somerset Light Infantry. I don't have a photo of Walter in his uniform. Perhaps none were taken. No time. He survived 2 months before dying of his wounds on the 24th of September 1915. He was buried among 1,200 or so others, including some German soldiers, at Merville Communal Cemetery in northern France. Sometime later, a memorial plaque was placed in the church back home for the 7 young men from that tiny corner of England who lost their lives in the so-called Great War. I am, of course, one of countless others who have a connection to that past, brought home quite powerfully to me simply by visiting that hamlet and church and seeing his memorial and his parents' grave last summer. And just seeing that photo of the French cemetery on a website made my mum shed a tear for her great uncle. All those lines of white stones representing a human being, a life, a family, known. And this morning, a wreath of poppies will be laid on a symbol of national remembrance at the grave of the unknown soldier in Westminster Abbey. Remembering all of the British dead of World War I in the death of a single, unidentified and unidentifiable soldier was the inspiration of a frontline military chaplain who noticed a grave marked only with a rough cross and penciled words, "An unknown British soldier." Great care was taken to ensure that this sacrifice of a single life might represent that of every son, husband, brother or father lost without any known resting place. A body was buried with full military honours just within the doorway of Westminster Abbey. It can never be ignored or passed by unnoticed. The tomb of an unknown soldier is forever remembered. We cannot change the past, but we are responsible for how we remember it. And remembering it together helps us bear it a little better, perhaps. For the business of remembering is not an easy thing. All those sadly familiar names that we hear at this time of year, the Somme, Passchendaele, the D-Day beaches, Arnhem, the Burnham campaign, the Burma campaign, Goose Green, Basra, Helmet Province. All the known and the unknown men and women from many different countries, from different conflicts, remembered today. It is perhaps easier to reflect on individual stories, for the magnitude of it all can be overwhelming. And today we are surrounded by heavy words. Words like courage, pride, shame, peace, loss, freedom, waste, sacrifice, fear, hope, sorrow, love. Yet perhaps the most powerful part of our remembering is to be found in the absence of words, in the silence, the relief of the guns stopping, the shells and bombs no longer exploding, planes and tanks stationary. We stand shoulder to shoulder alongside so many others today in a quite beautiful communal act that shames the violence and enmity, the evil ideologies and the chaos. An act that expresses far more than words could ever do. Because words can never hold the preciousness of all those lives, of all the good, of all the love there has been and will continue to be. Neither can words ever truly capture the horror of war, what it does to minds and bodies, or the thankfulness we feel for peace. And actually, however okay we all might seem, especially as a church, we in the church have to know how to be broken-hearted. Otherwise, the broken-hearted people won't know that they belong here too. However difficult it can be, remembering is of vital importance because what we remember shapes our future and helps us to engage more fully in it. In the Jewish traditions, memory and remembering were essential to spiritual health. Thus, the Passover ritual rehearsed and then celebrated the deliverance of the Jews from slavery. Our memories nourish our identities for good or ill. They teach us, with our many different heritages, what together we stand for as a community. And it's important to teach our young people about this day, help them to connect fully with a huge world that needs to be understood and cared for. Not a dismembered world of virtual reality, but an actual world of possibilities of creating understanding and friendship with people from different places and cultures and with the old enemies of the past. That's true for all of us, of course. And part of remembering involves reflecting upon ourselves and our behaviours so that we grow to better know ourselves and what we might be capable of in our hearts or with our bodies, the power to destroy or to heal, to mend or to break, to do justly or not. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Like in the past, freedom is still won on a one-to-one level of the daily small heroisms of ordinary people. When we move beyond our own small concerns to save others, when we put people before profits, when we reach out to those outsiders, those unlike ourselves, even if we might be afraid, even when it goes against what others are doing, that surely is part of our honouring. And it's only in the accurate remembering of the past that we gain a true perspective and can gauge how far we've travelled or haven't travelled and recognise the blessings which may be counted. The psalmists were masters of this. To paraphrase Psalm 77, "Then at last I remembered all the things I'd forgotten, all the wonders you, Lord, had begun." Jesus constantly reminded his critics of portions of scriptures or of historical realities which they had conveniently forgotten. In choosing to not lose the past, we pick up its fragments and put them back together, remembering forgotten potentials and discovering that our present dilemma is not disconnected from what's happened before. The God who saw us through past tragedies will see us through our present difficulties. The prophets of old, like in our Isaiah reading, spoke of restoration and remembering in the same breath. God says, I will not forget you. I have engraved you on my hands. And today, as we gather for communion, we discover Jesus' investment in our memories. When during the last meal he shares with his disciples, he takes two elements of a larger feast, names them as symbolic of his sacrifice on the cross, and says, whenever you do this, do it to remember me. We remember the one who knows about state violence, about injustice, about suffering and sorrow. We remember the one who is the Prince of Peace, who offers forgiveness, and whose invitation is to reconciliation. We will thank, break, and share the broken loaf. All of us broken ones come together in one body around the communion table, where we may recognize the risen Christ in our midst, the one who understands brokenness, whose ministry of healing and making whole continues down the years, the one who offers us a perspective of transformation and of eternity, the one whose name is love and who remembers us and those we love and think about today, those known to us and those we may never know about. All are held in his gaze now, not just an image in a photograph. We are remembered, and we remember because of love. And today of all days, we do so with gratitude and with our heads bowed.